Hello and welcome to the Unmissables podcast, episode 63. Steph, wow. They said it would never happen.
They did say that.
I mean, that was Steph Seedham.
Yeah.
Speaking there. And Kerry Barrow just joined in. Hello.
63.
Mm. Yeah. Imagine when we get to like 1,000.
Will we get to 1,000?
Yeah, we will, yeah.
Before we kill each other? We are in the middle of the height of the.
This is a television and pop culture review podcast, by the way. Suddenly, the first time you're listening, maybe
just
it will
be. Just in case you didn't know,
we're in the middle of the height of the what I can only consider to be the summer of sport. So we're in the middle of the World Cup.
Yeah,
there's tennis, Queen's tennis, and Wimbledon starts in about 2 weeks.
Right,
there's golf. There was the US Open.
No,
honestly, there's
golf.
Rugby over the weekend. But what I'm saying is that you might notice. There's a slight, I don't know, not downturn. There's a slight, we're picking more.
There are a dip in dramas.
Slight dip in dramas.
A drama dip.
Put it this way, the big TV channels don't put out their, I would say they don't put out their frontline A-list shows. Apart, although, of course, Poldark's on the moment on BBC One.
Yeah, but no one's watching that.
Don't
get him started. He gets on his soapbox about this.
How many people watch
Poldark? Poldark's great. What, like 8 million or something? It's a huge hit. It's a massive hit.
That's not as many people that listen
Poldark.
To the podcast.
Anyway, that is my way of saying we have reviewed Bear's Mission with Warwick Davis.
I'm yes, not dissing we have.
It. Yeah, I'm not
it
gonna...
sounds like a diss. Is what it sounds
the other
like.
Thing I want to say is, what?
You've never done an early diss. That is an early
diss.
It's not
diss a diss.
It's,
yes, not a diss.
It is.
It's an explanation.
I can see it in your eyes.
It's an explanation. And in the interest of transparency, which is always my main concern.
We should always be transparent.
Kay wanted to do it, not me.
Did you?
Well, have you seen what's on?
There's barely anything on. The other option was Glow Season 2.
That's great. Glorious show.
Exactly. Great show.
I put my foot down.
Semi-iconic Netflix show, but Kay wouldn't let us do it. I'm saying if you want to write in and complain at Kay Ribeiro, she decided.
Pogs, just a quick one on a bit of a like admin note. My feeling is if we've reviewed something, then we should like we should try and review new things.
We don't do second series of
Boyd,
things.
Boyd, if you're being
right?
fair, I did do a straw poll on the WhatsApp group, okay. The Unmissables, and it was agreed upon.
So looking forward to never doing The Affair again, for example, which is the other show we're doing. We are doing. So I Boyd. Say that there aren't major shows, but of course, in the world of the Sky Atlantics and the Netflixes and all that, they carry on regardless. They don't give a shit.
They
so
don't care.
The Affair is a huge show. Season 4, yes, arrives next Tuesday, 26th of June on Sky Atlantic
Very
Now
exciting.
TV. We have all seen episode 1. Stathlet's Flats. This is a Channel 4 comedy, which I consider to be a very interesting and I was about to give away what I thought
God,
of it. I'm trying not to say what I think of it.
Wait,
Jamie Dimitriou created it, and he's a very talented young man who you may recognise from lots of other things.
When you just went, it's a very interesting, like, it sounded like, you know, when you say to someone, you've got a really nice personality.
Yeah, well, no, I was just trying not to spoil it, what I think of it.
Okay.
I was about to say what I thought of it, and no, I didn't want to do that. And the aforementioned Bear's Mission with Warwick Davis,
mm-hmm.
which we'll all see, which is coming up on ITV, Tuesday, 26th of June, 9 p.m. Let us not prejudge.
Okay.
And as is tradition, before we get to that meet, we are going to talk about... Oh, Kay's raised a point of order
Kay's
already.
Got
this is a
order.
Rare moment.
I know.
She's raised her middle finger.
Yeah, what's
it was
happening?
Robbie Williams at the World Cup.
Doing my pointing. We should mention that we've got a guest in the room.
Oh, we have got a guest in the room.
A reluctant guest.
Yeah, if you hear anyone laughing just so out loud,
guffawing.
It's hilariously funny.
I don't think that's going to happen.
You don't know.
You never know. We've got to be optimistic
funny.
That we can make at least one person laugh, Boyd.
Okay. It's you don't mean John Dan, our guru.
We don't mean John Silent and will never smile or encourage us.
We mean the grown-up son of our creative director, Ben Watkins, Luke Watkins.
Luke Watkins, welcome.
He's here.
He's very same Luke Watkins. He looks thrilled about being mentioned.
You know what? I'm pretty confident he's smiling inside, if not out.
If you want to join in anytime, feel free. Although you haven't got a mic, but just knock Kay off hers.
Yeah,
no,
fine.
I'm going to constantly monitor his enjoyment levels.
Yeah.
What level are we on now?
No
out of 10?
Solid six.
The only way is up.
We are connecting with the youth. We are really, we are hip-hop.
Make sure you review us on iTunes.
Youth
Luke.
On the ground.
We are youth on the ground. Yogs.
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 Anyway, Steph, enough of this nonsense.
Enough.
What have you been listening to, reading, watching on Netflix, illegally downloading this week?
Well, I'm going to shock you.
No, you're not.
I'm not. I've been on the Amazon Prime, though.
Oh, what?
Oh, yeah, get on the AP.
I've been on the Amazon Prime.
You have shocked me. This is a revolution. This is the first time you've ever mentioned Amazon Prime, apart from when I forced you to review stuff.
Well, you forced me into reviewing that Goliath thing the other day, and I am absolutely hooked, and I finished season two. Wow. Can I please, please, please recommend that you all go back and watch season one, which I did, and then watch season two? It's an absolute
with Billy Bob
triumph.
Thornton.
Billy Bob Thornton.
Did you say this last week?
No, I said I was.
She said she was going to do it.
I mentioned it.
Do you know what she was doing? She was warming us up for this moment.
Yes, right. It's a warm up. I've finished season two now.
Good.
Billy Bob Thornton is so amazing.
Does he still look ratty?
I'm really, really deeply offended that you say he looks ratty because he's so sexy and brilliant in this role. Honestly,
take it back.
I challenge you to watch season two of this show and not.
End up
falling in love with him.
You need to call him sexy.
Much like Angelina Jolie did. It's brilliant cast. I just love everything about this show. I really liked it when we watched the first episode of season two, but I can't wait for season three. I really hope they do.
How many episodes is it?
It's only 8 episodes. Okay. But it's just fantastic. It's such an interesting. And you think when you like watch the first one, how are they going to do a season two? But they do. It's amazing.
And they
it's
only really ruddy
good.
Do.
They only bloody ruddy do.
Do season three?
Yes, they're definitely going to because there is a bad person in season two who the story absolutely has to continue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's semi-spoiler alert.
Yeah, it's, well, no. Okay. No, because there's lots of bad people in it.
Oh, right.
Okay. Another shock for you. Have you ever heard of a little show called The Million Pound Menu?
No.
I believe it's on, is it on the Channel 4?
I'm thinking Million Pound Drop.
Maybe it's Channel 4. I think these food shows get very confusing.
I think it's the Channel 4.
The Great British Menu is BBC 2.
No. Million Pound
Menu.
This is The Million Pound Menu.
Yes, and I have heard of
What's His Chops off the dating show.
Yeah, Fred Sur.
No, it's BBC 2. It's BBC 2.
Is it BBC 2?
Yeah, Fred Sur.
We previewed it.
Yeah, we did preview it in the Heat magazine.
Not on the Unmissables.
No.
So, The Million Pound Menu is two chefs have to basically, they get a pop-up restaurant and they are showing their menu to prospective investors who will give them, you know, not £1 million, but close to £1 million because they believe in their product, okay? So they have to make their menu, they show it to the public, and then they get the investors to come in and taste all their food, and then they have an hour to sit with Fred and wait if somebody walks through the door at the end to say they're going to invest or whether they're not going to invest. Oh, God, it's just addictive. It's completely addictive.
Do you know what? I have watched this via Gogglebox. And it was good.
That's not the same. God. Watching it.
They had a.
I still seen it with my eyballs.
Oh yeah, no, it's good. Yeah, I've seen it. It's a bit like The Apprentice meets food, isn't
they
it?
They had a woman from
Dragon's Den,
Trust House Forte, one of the Forte daughters, and she was gonna. And she, spoiler alert, it was on this weekend. She did invest in the end, but just the whole.
There's like six episodes of it, aren't there?
It's one episode per like restaurateur person. Yeah, one of these guys was just doing what's that? Bubble and Squeak. So his was called like
Squeaky Bubbles.
And he had a restaurant called Bubble And, which I thought was an amazing idea. But the Bubble and Squeak was like £10, so it was quite expensive for that.
Too much. Just Bubble and Squeak. Mashed potato with cabbage.
Yeah, but then it was Bubble And, so then it would be
mashed
with
potato
like
with stuff.
Okay. Once again, Bubble And, so it could be like mashed potato, and then you could have lamb or something else with it. It was fast anyway, it's like addictive. Oof. I'm saying it's a bit like Love in the
Countryside. But they didn't invest in Bubble And.
You're saying it's like Love in the Countryside.
In the addictive way. It's not like Love in the Countryside in the format.
Kate's reeling from that comparison.
You know what? I'm going to move.
They're very big words.
It's a move on.
So far, Billy Bob's sexy and this is like Love in the Countryside. Yeah.
Two Netflix things. Only two, okay?
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
So I've
cut
down.
We'll allow it.
I've cut down. Okay. Survivor's Guide to Prison.
Oh, yeah. Now, here we are.
Do you know the actor?
The guide is, don't do the crime.
Well, actually... Hold on a minute, because America has a third of the women that are imprisoned in the world are imprisoned in America. Did you know that?
Good stat.
Isn't that shocking?
Great stat.
Okay, so this is a David Arquette produced show. It originally came out in 2017. Do you know the actor Danny Trejo?
Yes.
Trejo.
Yeah.
So he's in loads of things. He was always like... He's always kind of gangster, isn't
Hateful
he?
Eight, I think he was in, maybe.
He's in loads of stuff. He's in loads of stuff. Anyway, he was in and out of the prison system before he became an actor.
Yeah.
And so he's talking a lot about it. But it's like loads of actors and activists talking about all the statistics around prison in America and all the terrible things that happen in there and saying that the only way we learn about prison stuff is like all through the terrible shows I watch, like Lock Up and Wives with Knives and all that kind of stuff.
Wives with Knives.
Which is an amazing show. Yeah. It's absolutely brilliant. It's like an hour and 47 minutes on Netflix. Fascinating.
Jenny Trejo, FYI, has been in, oh my God, it's been loads of stuff.
None of which is forthcoming.
The Flash
right?
on TV.
Yeah. He's in everything.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Rick and Morty, voice, obviously, animated things. From Dusk Till Dawn.
So basically you'd recognise him?
Yeah, you'd recognise him, yeah. Yeah, he's good. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Danger of the Ooze.
I mean, basically, Danny Trejo is in everything. So it's brilliant. Now, my last thing, okay, there's Marlon Wayans. Anyone a fan?
I think he's quite funny. I mean, he has made some terrible films.
He's made some terrible films. But you know White Chicks?
White Chicks? Yeah.
White Chicks is a classic.
It is a classic. It's a classic bad film, isn't it?
But it's a classic bad film that everybody still finds funny.
One of my friends watches White Chicks like every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's obsessed with that, yeah.
Yeah, it is quite.
It's a cult classic.
It is a cult classic.
Yeah.
He has got a new sitcom.
Oh, yeah. I think I've accidentally stumbled
upon
this on Netflix.
Is it any good? It's called Marlon on the Netflix.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is 23 minutes of Marlon Wayans playing Marlon Wayans. He has got divorced from his wife, who is now just his best friend. They've got two kids. She's got a sassy best friend. He's got a best friend that lives on his couch that he can't get rid of, who's been there for 2 years, and he came and he said he was only going to stay for 2 weeks, one of those ones. But interestingly, he's made his money. He's like a YouTube star. So it's like a new twist on a sitcom. He's a YouTube star.
What, Marlon Wayans' character?
Yeah, Marlon. Right, right. And he's called Marlon in it. I found it mildly amusing.
I hate YouTube stars.
I found it mildly amusing. Is that your recommendation?
Yeah.
Well, it's not going to go on the poster, is it? I found it mildly amusing.
It's one of those things that you can like have on in the background and you'll have a little bit of a chuckle.
True crime.
Yeah.
Documentary.
But I just thought like some people might find it really funny. I thought there was some good stuff in it. Yeah. What would you give it?
Like three?
No, I think
two
and a half.
Oh
three
my
and a half.
God.
I think it's a 2.5.
No, 3.5.
You've reinvented the what have you been watching section.
Listen, I have reined it in this week. Okay. I've really reined it in.
Kay.
Okay.
Over to you.
Uh-oh.
Hi.
Oh.
What?
She's got a face on.
No, I've got a face on. No, well, I've got a slight confession to make. Uh-oh. There's only two things I've been watching this week, really, and that's oscillated between the football, small thing of the World Cup, which I'm obviously deeply obsessed
with.
You
always love it when there are huge sporting events.
I love it. Honestly.
She does. She loves a sporting event.
And we're recording this on Monday, so we've got the game England versus Tunisia tonight.
Oh, yeah,
so
we're leaving early tonight.
We're leaving early. So this pod will be much shorter than usual. You'll be happy to know, Pogs.
Well, I don't know.
I mean, come on. Like, no. We've got another 10 minutes, surely.
Not plenty of time. It doesn't start till 7.
It's 3:30, Boyd. We need to get
to the seat. But we've negotiated leaving work at 5:30 today.
Oh, I mean.
Oh, you were leaving at 5 anyway.
I'm out.
Okay, well, this is interesting to no one but us. Right.
Hello. I'm gripped by what time I'm leaving. Carry on. Yeah. So you're watching the World Cup.
A lot of the World Cup.
Right. Any observations to make?
I think there've been a lot of upsets and unexpected results.
Here's the big question.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Whose coverage is better, ITV or BBC?
I've only been watching BBC. So
which one is Rio Ferdinand?
Oh, actually, no, I have been watching because some of the matches.
Oh, you didn't watch the Brazil game?
Well, I had it on the background. I had it on mute because I was doing something at the same time. So I was just watching the football in the background.
What's Rio Ferdinand on?
BBC One.
BBC One.
Do you know who is the most amazing person ever? Patrice Evra.
Well, no, this is a controversial moment.
Why?
A lot of people are hating on Patrice Evra.
Why?
Patrice Evra. Because he applauded patronisingly Enya Luca, who's the female pundit. There are two female pundits, Alex Scott on BBC and Enya Luca on ITV. And he kind of like literally applauded her for having knowledge in the middle of punditry. And everyone's like, oh, you patronising twat.
Yeah, but have you ever seen his Instagram though?
No.
Oh my God, please start following him. His Instagram is amazing. Oh, I love him.
Well, but he was patronising.
Okay, I don't want him to be patronising.
He's not a great pundit either.
Oh, I think he's fun. Mediocre. Is he? Yeah. Oh, okay. Which
the best moment was when Slaven Bilic last night in the ITV coverage, they asked him, they have an intense analysis of whether this penalty should be a penalty or not, and blah, blah, blah. And he said, I don't care. And that, everyone can see it on, it's on like Twitter and the internet.
Why does he say, well, that's his
paid
to care.
He just said, I just don't care. And it was brilliant. No, it was a great moment of honesty. It's like, yeah, you know, if you don't want to care,
that's not
care.
What I want from my pundits. Why is Jamie Redknapp not doing, where is he?
probably filming a movie.
He's my favourite. Lovely old time. He's watching it at home on TV
and
with his
where's
kids.
Thierry?
Your mate's on it. Your mate's on BBC.
Who?
You
Matt?
Know, yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Anyway, because I was watching Love Island as well, which, as you know, every year I get very into.
Yeah, and Boyd and I, you know, ridicule you.
You ridicule me because you just like to be elitist and snobbish.
I don't
but that's
ridicule
fine.
Anyone.
Boyd, we do. We
you
do.
Regularly
ridicule. This is the
you
ridicule
do,
time.
I don't.
Yeah, he'll
anyway,
be doing it.
I've been watching it again this year. Last year, I was deeply, deeply into it and was obsessed with it.
Yeah.
This year, I'm obviously still watching it on the regs, but.
On the regs?
On the regular.
On the regular.
Is that it's a phrase?
Yeah, on the
okay,
regs.
Let's ask our resident Yog. Yog, do you
on
know
the
what
regs?
I'm talking about?
On the regs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
it's
just. Yeah.
The youth hath spoken.
All right.
Anyway, so it's not. I wouldn't say it's as good as last year because the people in it aren't as good as the people last year. But still watching it, and I think Danny Dyer's daughter will win.
Yeah.
Which will shock
Danny Dyer's daughter, Danny.
Yeah.
And you, is that it? You know, no books to recommend, Kay? No.
I have been still watching.
Kay, is that the end of your list?
Yeah, because I'm still reading
Steph's
Gerald Durrell.
Reeling.
It's really long.
God, you're obsessed with that Gerald Durrell.
Yeah, but also it's massive. John Dunn's seen it. Isn't it big?
We've all seen it. We've all seen your huge Gerald Durrell.
It's massive.
That's not a euphemism.
No. Okay, well, that's fine. Luckily enough, I've got loads of things to bore
fantastic.
You with.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and also,
first of all,
it's good to be succinct. You don't have to recommend loads
you
of
are
stuff.
A model of brevity.
I only like to recommend good things.
You've mastered the art of brevity.
I feel like
say.
That's a backward compliment somehow.
No, it's a forward compliment.
No, yeah. Kay saying I only really like to recommend good things.
Oh, that's no, yeah. But it's not. It's just slagging you off.
I know. No. I know. I know. That's what I was saying. Yeah. It's
no.
Blatant.
I'm saying
yeah.
Obviously we're only like. I mean, what's the point? Yeah.
Of recommending like a 2.5, 3-star.
I just see how that sounded.
Yeah.
I wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
No,
okay.
No. 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 Let's move on. I know. She literally does
worse
listen
than
me. To me.
She usually means.
I know, boy. Do you know what? I apologize.
Here's the big question, though. Have you watched all of The Staircase?
Of course I had, and I told you
she
that
told
2 weeks
last week.
Why doesn't
that.
Right? What is the point of me sitting here if none of you listen to me? For goodness sake!
You said you watched all of it.
I watched
every
all of it. I watched all of it.
But you
weekend.
Didn't go to the BAFTA screening of it
as we went into last week because I couldn't go.
No, where were you? You were elsewhere. I went to it.
I was in Bath.
What I would say is we're having the exact same question.
No, I haven't been to it yet.
Yeah, so did you hadn't... No, you
right.
We said you were going to talk about it. So you went to
I'm
the BAFTA
screening. I'm now talking
screening.
About the event that
had
I went
you watched
to,
all
which
of,
I hadn't been to.
But had you watched all of it?
This time last week. I have now.
Oh, my God. And what do you think? Tell me what you think.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
But do you think you did it?
No. Yes, no, I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
Oh, you like that pundit.
Oh, okay. Like, yeah. We'll start this again.
Yeah.
Do you think he did it?
I genuinely don't know. And I don't think the director knows. This is the interesting thing. So the director,
Jean-Javier
de Lestrade, did a Q&A at BAFTA, which
I'm
I attended.
I'm so jealous that
and
you get to
with
that.
The producer. And Benji Wilson hosted it very capably. And it was very interesting because he clearly, I don't think he really knows. Like, you know, he's trying to maintain objectivity. You can't be completely
which,
objective.
I think that's good, though.
Yeah. But, of course, yeah. But there was one, the most interesting moment was when someone in the audience asked them about the story that the editor of the documentary series is having a relationship,
Julia.
Had in a relationship with
I think it was Julia.
The dude,
sure.
with
yeah.
Michael.
Yeah. Which was well documented in Beyond Reasonable Doubt, the podcast that's still available
right,
on
right.
iTunes.
And interestingly, I thought, because clearly, you know, it wasn't up to Benji to ask that question, but someone in the audience very pertinently asked that question, whether it's true, the editor of the whole series,
yeah,
and whether
yeah.
that was a moral problem.
Yeah.
And the producer
conflict
got quite
interest.
Annoyed. The producer
what?
Got, yeah, the producer momentarily,
I would have
in
asked
a very
that
French
question.
Way, got kind of like, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. But then the director went, no, I'll answer it. And the director was really decent about answering it and basically
what
said,
did he say?
He said he said she was the best person to edit the show and he wasn't going to stop her from working on the series just because she's sleeping with the man who may or may not be a murderer in the middle of it. It was quite an interesting turn.
That is incredibly interesting.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Because there are certain facts about the case that are not covered in The Staircase, which is why with all of these things you need to get a variety of media to get the whole picture.
Yeah.
But I do still think, I think The Staircase is absolute triumph. I think it was, the last three episodes were really, really well done.
Yeah, I agree, yeah.
Because obviously it came out originally in 2004, didn't it?
Mm.
But yeah, did you enjoy it?
I thought it was fantastic, yeah.
Yeah.
He talked about, I wish I'd written it down, but he talked about how many hours of footage he had.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
I mean, thousands and thousands of hours
I mean,
of footage.
Don't you wish you could get your hands on that, Steph?
Oh, listen, I thought it was kind of like a masterpiece of documentary filmmaking in terms of how they've managed to make it seamless. Do you know what I mean? Because like I can't even imagine the amount, like you said, the amount that they would have, the amount of overs.
Because it was in three chunks, essentially. There's the original series, which went out on the Sundance
channel.
But
it's expertly done.
It's eight episodes, 8 hours.
And then they did
two more.
One.
No, they did two more.
Two more, and then they did three more.
When he then basically, he was, spoiler alert, jailed for the crime, found guilty, but then new evidence came up as to one of the witnesses. And then they made those two episodes belatedly after that. And now then they've gone back and made the three more.
Yeah.
And so
that's what I mean.
Yeah,
it's a masterpiece.
It's knitted together.
It's
yeah,
so it's clever. Incredible.
I think you said that even from the trial alone, they had something like 500 hours of footage. And they only covered in 4 hours of the actual series.
Sarah, how much did he age?
Aged a lot.
Oh, my God.
Well, he was asked about that as well, actually. And funny enough. And he said, yeah, that was one of the most... impactful moments when they went back to make the three new episodes.
He
is how much
so
he
unwell.
He'd been in
Michael
for,
Peterson, this is
he'd
the
been
guy.
In prison for what, 8 years?
To be fair, he'd been through a lot.
Yeah.
But also,
but maybe murder.
In great contrast to
even
his lawyer,
age, Boyd.
Did you not think his lawyer, who still looked great?
Yes.
His lawyer's
his
actually just looked fine. No, he had no
his
at all.
His lawyer's a very likable dude.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Bit of a
dude. He's fantastic.
No, he's great.
Rudolph, he's fantastic.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that was my news. I went to that Q&A.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just come back from interviewing the great John Krasinski. It's embargoed because he's in this new Amazon Prime series.
Oh, Jack Ryan.
Jack Ryan.
Yeah.
So we got a lovely chat with him, and he was an absolute delight.
I know about these things now. I've been on the Amazon Prime.
Yeah. So we'll be reviewing that. I think that hits at the end of July or something like that.
I don't know how
Prime.
That's going to work.
Well, I've seen the first episode.
Is it good?
I'm not allowed to say, obviously. I'm embargoed.
It's just nod or shake your head. Okay.
These are books, aren't they?
Yeah, from the original. You know, Jack Ryan's been played. Hunt for Red October. He's been played by Sean Connery, Harrison Ford.
Oh, sexy.
Ben Affleck. And someone at Chris Pine.
I don't think Ben Affleck can do it.
No, Ben Affleck films are quite good.
I don't know about that.
No,
I'm not an Affleck fan.
Okay, fair enough. And I finished The Bridge. Have you finished The Bridge yet?
No, I haven't. Oh, that's why I wanted to. You know, I said I'd watch something and I couldn't remember other than Love Island and football.
Finished The Bridge.
Friday's episode was amazing.
Yeah.
What are you happy with the ending?
Yeah. Yeah. Why?
You don't seem happy.
No, I haven't seen. No, they haven't seen the ending. I haven't seen the full series.
No. I'm happy with the ending, yeah. And I want to say something.
You
look
hesitant.
I'm just trying to work out why I'm saying it without spoiling anything. Don't do it.
Just keep silent. Don't say it.
No, okay, well, I can test it out. And then I'm going to say it. And then if you think we should take it out in the edit, then we'll take it out. But I'm going to say it now.
I'm scared.
So halfway through the final episode of The Bridge, the last ever episode of The Bridge.
Just remember, though, that John Dunn is a huge Bridge fan as well. So don't spoil it for him.
John's literally, his fingers are on his face. But I'm just going to say this. Halfway through the final episode, I was thinking, how are they going to, what else is there to say?
And then there is something else to say. Okay, fine, that's it.
That's what I'm saying.
Is that too much, that guys?
Okay? No, that's fine. No, I cannot wait.
Yeah, I was actually watching the thing going, oh, okay. Anyway.
I actually feel sick with excitement.
It's very,
okay,
it's
don't
very,
be sick.
It's tremendously exciting. Do you remember when we went to the premiere
screening,
at the BFI, where she was there and the writer was there. And they said, I may be imagining it, but I think they said they knew how they were going to end it. The very last scene. Do you remember this? And they had it in their mind, and it is brilliant. It's
okay.
Really, really good.
Say no more.
Oh. Yeah.
Say no more.
I'm saying no more. Is it time for the meat?
Before
the meat.
It's time for tweets before the meat.
You genuinely forgot, but let's move on.
I knew in the back.
You
of my
have
mind.
Remembered like one or two times out of the 63 times we've done this podcast.
I'm going to say it's a sliver of turkey because it's a bit lean this week.
Oh. Mm. Everyone's on holiday.
Everyone's on holiday. Everyone's watching Love Island and the football. But we did have a message from Daniel Rawlings.
He's Rawlings.
And he got in touch. And I like this one because it was a bit of an emergency tweet, I'd say. And he said, at Unmissables, what would you download to your phone while waiting at the gate to get on a 1.5 hour plane ride in 15 minutes time? Now, what I would like to say is I want to issue an apology. It takes me at least 15 minutes to find my phone. And so John Dan had actually messaged us and said, because we hadn't seen the tweet. And then Steph and I got back in touch. And I think it was a little bit too late. I think you were already in the air. But I recommended Atlanta and Safe.
Mm-hmm.
And you recommended, what do you reckon? I think you did Explain, didn't you?
Oh, I said Explain, so you can learn while you fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he'd already watched Safe and Atlanta, so he did take up your recommendation.
Did he? Did he like it?
Another satisfied pog. We are here. All these services are available if you need us at a moment's notice. We won't reply instantly, obviously. There'll be a massive delay. Also, we had a tweet from @MiraJade, who said, if they ever make a drama of #TheStaircase, I know exactly who should play Michael Peterson.
Oh, yeah, that was a good point.
And it was John McGinley. He said, Mira Jane. She John said McGinley. That she, yeah. he's the spitting image of, and it's absolutely true. She actually sent a little visual.
It's very good. Oh, it is. Oh my God, that is a great visual.
John like, C. McGinley of Scrubs fame. He was Scrubs. Yeah. He was the horrible doctor in Scrubs, yeah. and he's very funny. Yeah.
And he is. He true. Would be brilliant, wouldn't he?
And funnily enough, I kept thinking... Really
if they do that now, we should get her some money for that.
Oh, you need at least a nugget, a pound.
Do you think we'll be able to get
her
some money for that?
I am going to take up the case right now.
Are you exec producing
I have watched a lot of Goliath and I believe I could be a lawyer.
Okay.
No, I genuinely do.
But I have to say, when I started watching The Bridge, I did think, oh, he reminds me of someone. And I think it must have been him that he reminded me of, yeah.
The Bridge? The Staircase?
Sorry, The Staircase.
Oh, boy, these senior moments, they're coming thick and fast now.
Charming.
Just before we go on to the meat, I would just like to take it over across to our yog, our in-house yog. Yeah. Oh. Now, what level of enjoyment have we gone up from? Are we still at six? Yes. We're still at six. We've plateaued.
At least we haven't gone down.
Listen, we haven't gone down. We've plateaued at six. That's all we can hope for.
What are the young people watching now? YouTube.
Yeah, yeah, it is the YouTube. You can't put someone on the spot like
you're
that.
Very much an ask question and answer it yourself, aren't you, person? I've realised this.
Boy, just because I pointed out the senior moments are coming thick and fast.
Well, you know.
What do you mean I'm very much... What, like?
You asked the question, well, and then you answer yourself.
Yeah, but then I was worried that you didn't have enough time to think about it, so I was like, okay. It's probably YouTube.
All right, well, you just marinate in that question.
We'll come back to it.
It's a marinate. Yeah.
Come on.
You marinate.
Let's go on with the
meat.
Let's
marinate the meat.
Kate's literally going, come on.
Chop.
This football won't watch itself, Boyd.
It's fine. We've got
do you think we're going to win? I mean,
yes,
when this
tonight,
comes out.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you mean, definitely?
We will. I mean, we should do. Tunisia aren't very good. Let's not.
Sorry, Tunisians.
I mean, all the comments are saying let's not underestimate them, but, you know, they're not that great.
Also, let's not talk at length about a match that will have been played by the time this comes out.
Good point. Yeah, and again, live editing.
You are
Kate.
Full of good points today.
You
Thanks.
Really are. First of all, it's a big. I think this is a big TV event in the summer of sport. The Affair is back for its fourth. Is it this the last ever season? Or is that
they haven't said?
They haven't said. Okay, maybe it won't be.
Hopefully not.
I consider Kay to be one of the world's foremost fans of this show, so I'm going to let her.
I do
explain.
Love it, and you know why I love it.
Well,
of course, it's
my future husband,
Dominic. Joshua.
No,
Jackson.
You're joking, Pacey.
Yes, I was joking.
Phew, Joshua Jackson.
And
Pacey
they go on about him all the effing time.
I do love him. He is the future Mr. Barrett. Anyway, he's in it. Now, for anyone who hasn't watched it, the premise is that Dominic West, who plays Noah, a novelist, had an affair with a lady called Alison, who was married to Joshua Jackson's character called Cole. Boy's squeaking his microphone. Apologies for that. Anyway, so Noah had an affair with Alison in the first series, and it all came out. And it's kind of like the aftermath of that and the ripple effect of their affair and how it affected their families. Series three, so the one just before this one, it was a little bit of a dip in form. I don't know if you agree with it, because other characters started getting introduced to it other than the core four. So Noah had been in prison for a crime he actually didn't commit, which was the murder of Cole's brother, Scotty. He took the blame for that for his ex-wife, Helen, and went to prison. And when he came out, he started up a new life in New Jersey as a teacher, and he kind of fell in love with the French professor. And a lot of the story was revolving around the French Juliet, his teacher.
Was there the weird mysterious man following him, which didn't go anywhere, did it?
It didn't really go anywhere. That was apparently the police warden who was he was in jail, and it was a bit of a mystery.
I found that very annoying.
I really loved the last season. I thought it was really, really good. Well, yeah, it was played by what's his chops?
That's right, Brendan Fraser.
Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
And he gained loads of weight for it.
Yeah.
Had he gained loads of weight for it, or had he just gained weight and then got the role?
He did gain weight for it.
Okay.
Anyway, yeah. Opinions
well,
different.
It was split. Let's say it's split opinion. I thought it was a dip because it focused a lot on Juliet, and then the action moved to Paris and away from
the core. I found it a bit tedious.
The last episode was crazy. Okay. I mean,
and she brought a lot of emotional baggage that no one gave a shit about, in my opinion. Wow. Anyway.
Wow. Say what you think.
Season four starts, and basically it's Noah's come out of prison, he's formed a new life, he's moved to LA to be near his children. That's where his ex-wife Helen is with, and she's got a new life with the Dr. Vic. She's living a really nice life, beautiful house in the hills. Noah's working in a school, in a city school, quite rough, but he's doing everything he can to like build a new relationship with his kids who have kind of like lost touch with him when he was in prison. And Helen is seemingly causing trouble and problems. Obviously, as always, it's a split point of view narrative. So first half is from his point of view, second half is from hers, and it's kind of strange.
She's worried about earthquakes. Okay.
She's worried about earthquakes. It's obviously
she's
a metaphor.
La La Land.
Yeah. She's seeing a therapist. She has an issue. She's in turmoil, and it's seemingly about him. And that's it, really, in a nutshell.
You've nutshelled it very well.
Thank you.
Because the two things, I think the reason why the affair became quite zeitgeisty, I'm using that word.
Yeah, go for it.
It's true.
Was partly because it was about illicit relationships and there was a murder. So it had all had a bit of crime, it had illicit relationship-ish factor, like Dr. Foster kind of thing, which people love talking about. But it had the point of view thing whereby, you know, it does switch between. So you see the same events, which is an old idea. It's an old, you know, it's done in Pulp Fiction. It goes back decades.
Yeah,
you know,
but what
film.
Series is of events?
Series is. I'm sure I can come up with one if I really thought about it, but I haven't thought about it.
Okay,
enough.
Fine.
But it
I'll
certainly
give you some
was
time.
The way they did it wholeheartedly. I think they made it the thing, didn't they? They would show you, as you say, half an episode, or just they would cut sometimes intercut between. You'd see 10 minutes of one person, and then you immediately see the events of the next one. So it was fluid and clever, and so I think. My feeling about the last series was that they got it slightly almost left that behind a little bit.
Yeah, often. And became a different type.
And
of,
became a different type of show.
Yeah,
and I kind of agree with you. I found all the Parisian stuff with that slightly annoying, not going anywhere. I didn't think, even though I love Brendan Fraser, I just don't think that storyline.
Yeah, I suppose it was a complete. Yeah,
it
was
enough for the main characters.
You could have cut out that whole subplot.
The reason,
anyway, go on.
The reason people liked it is because it was the whole premise of. His story, her story, and then the truth is somewhere in the middle.
Sure.
And that's why it was interesting, because you kind of knew that neither of those stories were entirely correct.
Yeah, but I thought this, why this did feel like a return to form, was because the things that were revealed after we see her point of view, after seeing his point of view, were very interesting, I thought. Mm. There's the whole thing about their son possibly being gay. He's a little kid. He's like 13, 14, is he, maybe?
Yeah.
And there's a whole thing about, you know, is he or is he about to tell them these guys got formed a close friendship with a little boy at school. I thought that was dealt with very interestingly. He's got a whole thing at his school with a young black kid who
Anton.
He thinks might have cheated in an essay, and has he or hasn't he. I thought that it's dealing with kind of almost everyday issues, and she's stressed out about her life and yet living this in one of the most lavish houses.
Listen, you're going to get such life envy when you watch, when you see how she's living.
She's got loads of money, hasn't she?
She's
with Vic and he's a doctor.
Apparently,
surgeon.
If you're a surgeon.
Yeah, but she's not even having to work.
Yeah, exactly.
But she's never had to work because of her old parents.
I know.
Has her dad died in it?
Well, they're both rolling in it because they're living in one of the nicest houses I've ever seen on television.
Wow.
It's extraordinary.
Yeah.
So, bottom line is I kind of loved it. But I did think there were the odd moments. There's a lot of stuff about kind of slightly obvious, cliched stuff about LA being very slick and shallow, you know. And he's like, the husband seems a bit shallow and, you know, I don't know. I didn't get that. I don't think Vic is at all. I thought it was a bit.
I think there's the cliched character of the neighbour who's very, you know,
oh,
like.
The neighbour.
The neighbour. She's a real kind
she
of.
She was semi preposterous.
Yeah.
But quite entertaining. And the school thing, which felt like one of the, a little bit mini drama, like one of those high school drama films. You know, all the kind of like school where they deal with issues at school and everyone.
Riverdale.
The rough kid trying to
a
make.
A little bit Riverdale. Like, almost Dead Poets Society.
Misunderstood.
Oh. Yes. Misunderstood. Rough kid. Exactly. You kind of knew how that was going to play out. Obviously, it's early days, but how it played out in episode one, but those are minor things that I thought was incredibly enjoyable hour of television.
I thought it was a return to form as well, and I was really happy because after the third series, which I didn't enjoy, I was like, oh God, really? Is this just going to like whimper out? I thought it was return to form. Absolutely loved it. And I've seen episode two, which I know you have as well.
Well, the reason I am not like giving you so much my opinion because it's come to light that I have accidentally watched episode two.
Transparency.
And not watched episode one, which episode two is amazing.
Is brilliant. And not just because it focuses a lot on Joshua Jackson's character of Carl, and there is a shower scene, and I feel physically sick with how much I'm in love with
him. Wait a minute, do you see Joshua Jackson naked? Is that what you think?
Semi-naked.
Yeah, you do. You see, Joshua Jackson is in it a lot, which I don't think he was in the third season enough.
But I think
he had
I also think that the storyline between Cole, Louisa, and Allison is more interesting than the Helen and Noah.
Yeah.
When you see episode two, I think you'll maybe agree.
Maybe.
But it's definitely a return to form. Any Affair fans must tune in.
You're kind of taking the idea of the point of view of the thing. You're watching it out of order, out of sequence. You know, you're watching the episode two first.
Yes,
you thought, why not?
So
why not?
I purposely thought, I'll watch
this out of order.
And
plays with time, the whole show.
Yeah, they're playing with time. I'm going to play with their time.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah.
And episode two is absolutely amazing. I can just say
that. It is really good. Yeah. It's better than one, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I knew that. I knew that already.
Yeah, I mean, this time tomorrow when you watch one. And then you can watch five, four, three, maybe. I don't know, four, three, five.
I won't be dictated to by the order of episodes.
No, fair enough. How many stars are you giving episode two?
Episode two, I'm going to give 5 stars because I love the affair.
Kay, how many stars are you giving episode one and two?
One, I'd say 4.5. Ooh. 2, 5.
Well, I've seen one. I'm giving it 4.5, 4.3, 4.5 to 5. Four
you were nearly going to go 3/4.
I nearly was, yeah, I know.
And you know that that is prohibited.
It's prohibited. The Affair, episode 1, goes out on Tuesday, the 26th of June, next Tuesday, a week today, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, the day it comes out, Sky Atlantic and Now TV at 9 p.m. And there will be 10 episodes in full on a weekly basis.
Hurrah!
In shock,
are they not, is it not dropping all at once?
It's a not dropping all at once.
Good.
No.
I like this.
No, because it's on.
Savor it.
It's going out in America, similar kind of time period. So it's fine. You can't happen. You can't have everything in one go.
I can't have it in one go or in the right order, apparently.
Or definitely not in the right order. I don't know whether you watched Bear's Mission with Warwick Davis in the right order.
I definitely, unfortunately,
there's
did.
There's only one. Oh, here we go. There's only one episode.
Thank God. Goes,
yeah. And it's part of. It's interesting, isn't it? Because effectively, Bear is a big ITV star now. He does a lot of ITV shows and also Channel 4 shows. He does The Island on Channel 4, where they drop loads of doofuses, sometimes celebrities, onto his island and he kind of pops in and out. Mm. Then he does these things with celebrities and he kind of takes them hiking, puts them through difficult...
Barack Obama.
And that goes out also on Discovery, I think. That's kind of almost American show. But he did another series for... He's all over the place, is what I'm saying. And this is a one-off show, which is kind of like that format where Barack Obama took part in.
With Warwick Davis
in the Obama role.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's focused on taking one celebrity for an hour through a kind of grueling, outsidey, outdoorsy survival experience in the Lake District, which is Warwick Davis's favourite part of the world slash country. And you kind of watch them. He has to do things like, he has to go down over a huge valley in the Lake District on a, what's it called?
A zip line.
Oh, yeah.
He has to, like, climb up and down mountains.
It's a bit like Centre Parks, but, you know, it is.
Centre Parks with peril, with added peril. How much?
Centre Parks is frightening.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it always?
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah, especially if you go in, like, half-term holiday.
Yeah.
Do you have to get in there on a zip wire?
That's the only way.
Okay. So that's, and then there's some eating of, there's a bit of, like, I'm a Celebrity style eating of disgusting food. So, like, there's an eyeball of a fish. And
an ant.
Bear Grylls gratuitously munches on an ant.
Yeah.
Hey man, there's a lot of vitamin C in that, Boyd.
Yeah.
Is that your impersonation of Bear Grylls?
Yeah, that is
a version.
And I get the sense that I can. There's a huge sigh already.
Oh, he's
from
just
Stephanie
so
Seelan.
Annoying.
Who? Bear Grylls. Not Warwick.
Listen, Warwick Davis. I feel sorry that he had to spend that amount of time with Bear Grylls. Bear Grylls. I don't know how he's got so many shows because he is so irritating.
Wow.
He is so... I hate the way he's almost like a caricature of himself that he like jumps around like every... Walking up steps to him would be some kind of survival thing. He makes everything just because you're wearing those like survivalist pants and survival anorak.
Survivalist pants.
But do you know what I mean? Like it's not... He just... Everything is so dramatic with him. It's ridiculous. I can't stand him. I really, really hate Bear Grylls.
So when Kay suggested doing this show, why didn't you go, I can't stand Bear Grylls? Or were you happy to sink your teeth into Grylls?
I thought, I wonder if Bear Grylls has got over...
Sink your grill
into
Grylls.
You know him, like the whole like staying in hotels thing where other people were like staying out, camping out. That whole controversial alleged staying in hotels, which probably definitely happened.
Ooh.
Allegedly.
Our legal advisors looking very askance at you.
Well, allegedly...
AKA John Dan.
Yeah. As I said, allegedly he stayed in hotels when other people were out camping, but he's just got that whiff about him of he's not really doing the work. Do you know what I mean?
No,
but
he has. Not just because he's had a fish down his survival trousers.
Do you know what? That's my issue with it, right?
The fish down his trousers.
The very contrived bits. So, for example, they're out and they're meant to be fishing, and so Bear to camera kind of like, you know, really hams it up and is like, you know, we knew it probably wouldn't be possible. So, here's a trout we caught a day ago, which I've kept in my pants, which he then sort of semi throws at Warwick so that Warwick can spear it and stuff. And I just think, and also there's this moment with a card trick which is quite stilted, and I just don't think
let me just get my cards.
Yeah.
Oh, shut up there.
Oh
no, it's so...
it's not for me. I think it's a bit like,
if you can't catch
self-satisfied,
it's not even really clear what the mission is. Bear's mission with Warwick Davis, what is the mission? Do you know what I mean? It's not, what is the mission?
The mission is to put Warwick Davis through as much misery as possible.
But
it wasn't really... Do you know what?
I mean, that could just be spending an hour with Bear Grylls in Bear Grylls' house.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That would be miserable.
The mission was to go to kind of, you know, go wild in the Lake District or something. Yeah,
yeah,
I agree.
But going wild means that they wouldn't have eaten because he wouldn't have caught the fish. You can't get a fish you caught the day before and chuck it at poor Warwick Davis.
The fish incident, as it shall now be known, in which Bear Grylls whips a fish out literally of his trousers, and it's unclear as to how long it's been.
It's not a euphemism. That actually happens.
So big fish, big kind of raw. Is it still alive? No, it's dead.
Trout.
Is it a trout?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Well, that's what it says in the press release.
Oh, okay.
I can only go with the facts that I've given.
Okay, I thought they were your own notes. Your own copious
notes. You're the fish expert, remember. You knew the fish last week.
Fish expert.
You are.
Yeah, all right. Anyway, alleged trout. He throws it. So the idea is they're going to go fishing this wild bit of the river or whatever in the Lake District. And they fashion, he fashions an implement to stab the fish.
Sorry, hold on a minute. Also, it's not a wild river. It's just like a little trickle.
It's a stream.
But it's tiny.
Oh, it's ridiculous, yeah. But the whole thing, it's one ridiculous thing after another, isn't it? Because first of all, Bear kind of says, oh, there are going to be fish in this place, so let's get some. He fashions these implements. Then he explains to Cameron, there aren't any fish in there.
Yeah.
And we'll never find them in any years.
So you're a survivalist.
Yeah.
Go, you should know. Like, hunt down the fish.
Then he gets, the point is he does know, and that's worse because it's so contrived.
It is contrived. He whips the fish out. He does it. They literally throw it at poor Warwick Davis. Poor Davis is confused.
What Warwick has to go through. I think he deserves a medal for that.
I really like Warwick Davis.
Warwick Davis is hilariously funny, and he makes this thing completely watchable.
I think.
But I just want him to turn around to Bear Grylls and go, you are such a twat.
Let me just have a nice walk on my own.
What I take umbrage with is that actually Warwick Davis, as you say, is a great guy. And actually, you know, there's a moment when they're in the cave and he's opening up about his his condition and stuff, family bereavements and stuff like that, and that to me was one of the most interesting parts of the whole thing.
Oh, of course.
Right, which was condensed down to a minute in this cave, and I thought actually if Bear allowed him time to kind of open up, and that's more interesting than these fake scenarios.
And also, can I just say, Bear Grylls is so effing patronising to a Warwick Davis throughout the whole thing. He goes, oh, I love it, you just don't give up, do you? And it's just like, no, because I'm on a fucking mission with Bear Grylls. That's the title of this programme. He's just so patronising. He's just... Oh.
Here's the question. I agree. We're all in agreement that Bear Grylls is annoying. How does he get these brilliant people?
Some things happen.
I think the housewives fancy him. Oh. I think men look at him and think, oh, wow, you can start fire with some twigs. And
it's a good trick.
Yeah. And
it's rubbish.
It's not... What I'd say is it's not good enough. This isn't good enough.
It's not good enough at all.
It felt to me like very much a summer filler in between World Cup games. Anyway.
It's silly season.
So Bear's mission with Warwick Davis, who's still lovely and funny, is on ITV next Tuesday. Oh, it's on the same time. No one's going to watch it because The Affair's on. If you've got Atlantic and Now TV, it's on the same time. Tuesday, 26th of June, 9 o'clock. How many stars, Steph? I'm fascinated by how many stars you're going to stretch to for this show.
Okay, I'm going to take Warwick out of this. I'm going to give Warwick Davis 5 stars because he's fantastic. And he tries to rescue it, but he fails miserably. And I'm not going to give Bear Grylls any stars because I absolutely
can't
stand
him. So then you're giving
him.
It 5 stars. That's
no,
terrible.
No. I'm giving Warwick Davis 5 stars.
You have to give
stars.
The programme a star rating. Go on. Just
a zero.
Zero.
Zero stars.
Zero stars. Wow. I really do not like Bear Grylls. He's really... And do you know what the other thing I'm noticing? He's like, he's got hair gel in. There's no hair gel in the forest.
I mean, so irritating. I mean, I don't think we can use that against him.
I think we can.
Now we're entering...
Be a survivalist or don't be a survivalist.
He might have put a tube of hair gel in his rucksack. That's allowed.
That's not essential if you're going to survive in the woodland.
There's no hair gel in the woodland, is
no,
what you're saying.
There is no hair gel.
There's one lesson we've learned.
He should have taken the guts of the fish and made it into a hair paste.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, thank you, Kay.
God, I don't want fish guts on his hair. Kay, how many stars are you giving despite the hair gel in the forest?
I'm giving it 2 stars, and I'm going to elevate that to 2.5 for Warwick.
Yeah, I'll give it... Oh, God, just hit my elbow on the chair.
Are
I'm
going to
give
right?
it 2.5 stars.
Okay.
Finally, Staff Let's Flats.
Oh, now we're talking.
Oh, spoiler alert. This is a brand new 6-part comedy created by and starring Jamie Demetriou, which is co-written by... him and Robert Popper of Friday Night Dinner.
Well, that tells you all you need to know.
Steph, I can see you're champing at the bit.
I am. Tell
us more about this Channel 4 half-hour comedy programme.
Right. So, Staff, bless his heart, is in the family business, which is a letting agency, which his dad owns. And he's not doing as well as his dad might like. And his dad basically says, you've got to be better at this. And he is... trying to teach him things like you've got to pick be the first person to pick up the phone, and you've like got to get to the flats that people want to go, and you've got to be, you know, show people around and be good. And Stath obviously fails miserably, and they have a mini war with another lettings agency next door that keeps putting bins in front of them, padlocking bins to their to the door of their lettings agency. Anyway, Stath also has a younger sister who seemingly does nothing, but she does enjoy dance, and she does that a bit at college. And
played by his real life sister, no! Natasha Dimitriou. Yes. Yes. Oh, crack on. Sorry okay. to interrupt, but put that.
No, it's a good fact.
Yeah.
In the lettings agency, there's also an amazing lettings agent called Carol, who's kind of his nemesis, who gets all the lettings. And there's this...
Katie Wicks.
Oh, sorry, Katie Wicks. There's a kind of a whole nice team of people in there. There's a nice young guy who I can't remember the name of, but he gets this Al.
Played by Alistair Roberts.
Yeah, who's just a very lovable, sweet guy.
Yeah.
Sophie's got a little bit of a soft spot,
but he has got a girlfriend. But anyway, it's just a lovely, charming, and might I add, hilariously funny sitcom, which reminds me deeply of Phone Shop, which I loved much. Yeah, that's it.
There is a bit of Phone Shop in it, because a lot of it is set in the workplace. So you see him, first of all, you see him showing flats to people really badly.
Yeah.
Like he is this character, and this was originally a blap. You know, so on Channel 4 they have these things called blaps, which are like short 10-15 minute things.
Oh, I didn't know.
So he did one of those, and it was brilliantly funny and hilarious. And he's kind of like a character comedian, Jamie Dimitriou. And he creates these kind of quite monstrous characters, dudes, and you know he's done brilliant characters before, if you've ever seen him on stage or if you've seen him in TV shows. And this guy is kind of incompetent but also aggressively kind of obnoxious, and
but also a bit lovable
because you can tell he's a complete beneath, but he is definitely kind of like, he's irritating, isn't he? Deeply irritating in many ways. And he's trying overly hard, self-absorbed, all of these things. And yet somehow you like him. It's an incredible trick,
isn't
it?
Do you know what he is? Amazing character.
The word that Boyd, if you know Boyd a lot, or even if you just listen to podcasts, you know the word that he used most of all is doofus. And that is what this guy is in one word.
But he's lovable doofus.
Yeah, he's just such a doofus. And honestly, I haven't laughed so much. There's one scene particularly that involves a pigeon, right?
Oh, that
where I was cackling at my desk. It's so... I've waited a long time for a comedy as funny as this, like a new comedy. Mm. And it feels like, it reminds me of The Office.
You've waited. Did you watch Phone Shop? Did you used to watch Phone Shop?
No, I never.
Oh my God, Kay.
Phone Shop was heavily influenced by The Office.
Do yourself a favour and go and watch Phone Shop, because you will find I totally agree. It's been a long time coming that a comedy this funny, and this is really, really funny, because the characters are so brilliant and they're just so well played. And I haven't laughed as much at a comedy like this since Phone Shop, and I love Phone Shop. I think this is going to be loved by many.
Yeah, I think it's in the line of This Country and People Just Do Nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's from the same production company as People Just Do Nothing, I think. And I think it's in that. It's interesting, it's not a faux documentary. It's almost like, it could have been done in faux documentary style.
I'm kind of happy they didn't.
I was going to say I'm happy they didn't, because both of those shows are faux documentary style, People Just Do Nothing in This Country, which are the two biggest kind of pop culture phenomena of comedy shows of recent years. This Country won the BAFTA, quite rightly, this year, Best Comedy. But so it kind of could have been, but it's not. It's just it's done in you know, it is a show. It's scripted, it's kept brilliantly by Robert Popper and Jamie Dimitriou, excuse me. And it's scripted by them brilliantly. And it's just relentlessly funny, isn't it?
Yeah,
and it's
it really is.
Like my favourite scene, your favourite scene was the birds. My favourite scene was when he hits his colleague, the lovely guy, Al, with the whiteboard, smashes his face in. The guy spends the rest of the episode trying to stop the bleeding.
Stem the flow.
Starts out with him putting little like tissues up his nose. Then it just gets out of hand. And all the while, the girl is with him, like trying, just accompanying him as he kind of wonders, should I go to the doctor or not? Should I go to the doctor? And just hanging out a bus stop with him bleeding profusely. I thought that was so hilarious. And the staff doesn't give a shit about it.
No.
He just smashes his face in.
Even there's a scene when he's trying to be the first person to pick up the phones. Even that is hilariously funny. Just the little things that he's saying to himself, it's just brilliant. It's so brilliant.
While we're talking about Robert Popper and Friday Night Dinner, I've just got to add, did anyone see the final episode?
Oh, no, I haven't seen it. Is it good?
It is.
Yeah, the dog.
Oh, my God. It's so good. It's like part like heartbreaking, the other part totally, totally hilarious.
Did you just say something happened to the dog?
It's like...
Yeah, spoiler. Yeah.
Oh.
It is, honest, Steph, oh. Put your canine feelings aside. It is.
Put your canine feelings aside.
I can't, absolutely cannot. Okay, don't watch it. But it's, don't you think it was just a fantastic episode? Yeah, if you haven't seen it, Pogs, and you like Friday Night Dinner.
Steph's reeling.
Get it on catch up.
Yeah, something happens to the dog.
Well,
I'm not going to watch it.
People might not have seen it yet. So I mean, it's all about the dog, partly about the dog.
So it starts. Okay.
The dog's doing a lot of doo doo in the garden, is what it's
called.
Subplot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dollops.
Dollops.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, catch up with that.
Oh, God.
Stuff That's Flats is on Channel 4 from next Wednesday at 10 p.m. And I think, as I've said in my review in Heat Magazine, it's our new comedy obsession.
Oh, absolutely obsessed.
Five stars from me.
Five stars from me.
Six, if I could. Six, if I could.
It's not allowed to love to be five.
Just the five.
That's how much we loved Jamie Demetriou's Stuff That's Flats. Finally, it is that time.
It is question time.
But actually, sorry. I know it's another format change.
It's a hand up.
It's a hand up. I've got a question.
Go on.
Yog. Right, final score. Now,
We haven't finished yet.
Well, we're hopefully ending soon. Luke has been sat here throughout the whole thing. He's very hard to read, quite enigmatic.
I know.
Although what I'd say is if you did read his face, he would just say misery.
I feel he's been distracted by, we were in a room with lots of writing on the walls, and he's been distracted by that.
Okay, well, the writing will be on the wall if he doesn't like this. So come on, Luke.
Who you done there?
Final score, what are you saying? Now, you're at six, and what I would say is it would be good if there was some movement, preferably up.
What are you giving this podcast and this podcast book? And if you want to pick out an individual...
He's trying to physically disappear in his hoodie. It's not possible.
Now, look me in the eyes. Yeah. If you want to pick out an individual star of the podcast, one, someone that you'd like to listen to all the time, you can. But just a rating out of 10 would be fantastic.
Solid 8. Oh!
Solid 8.
Do you know what? Unexpected.
I mean, pressured by two... How could I describe you?
Wonderful
forceful,
colleagues.
Forceful, strong women.
Yeah. And your favourite person was, what was that? Oh, it was me. It was me, his favourite presenter.
You've certainly answered your own question there. But what is it? What time is it really?
It really now is question time.
In honour of your favourite human being, Steph, Bear Grylls. In honour of Bear, the question is, what is your favourite TV or film Bear?
Do you remember... Gentle Ben.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes. What? You don't remember Gentle Ben?
And wasn't there a hovercraft?
There was a hovercraft because they were in the Everglades. Oh, my God. How can you remember Gentle Ben?
I'm older than you. This is
so old. And I think it was repeated.
It's older than you. Honestly, it's been around forever.
I'm going to Google it. So, as young people say. There was this young boy and his best friend was an actual bear. I mean, you couldn't do that these days. It would have to be CGI. But he was an actual bear. And he was called Gentle Ben.
Wait a minute. They had an actual real life bear acting in the show.
Yes. Called Ben.
How can you not know?
Isn't that bear cruelty?
Oh,
why? It was having a great old time.
It was in the times before people. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. It was like in your time. It was like in that, before.
Well, before we get into bear rights.
Yes, okay.
My answer is, of course, Paddington Bear.
There's only one
bear, really, of any note, which is Paddington Bear.
But what incarnation of Paddington Bear are you talking
about? The books. Originally. Do you recognise him?
No, I'm now showing Boyd a picture of Gentle Ben.
He looks like a grizzly bear.
He is.
Oh, he is a grizzly
bear. And there's the hovercraft.
Yeah.
Wow.
We'll put this picture of Gentle Ben on the hovercraft up on the Twitter device.
That's extraordinary.
Isn't it?
Yeah, Paddington Bear. Originally, my love started with the books by Michael Bond, obviously. And then I do like... There was a children's version. I'm not talking about the films necessarily. Do you remember the children animation?
Of Paddington.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking you.
But my original form is book.
Good, because I'm picking Paddington 2. Paddington 2.
No, you've got to pick a different bear.
No, I can't. Well, it's a different. It's a different incarnation of Paddington.
Oh, okay.
Paddington 2 is, as any fool knows, one of the greatest films of recent years.
Mm.
And as I said, Hugh Grant should have been nominated for an Oscar, and you're all after me. He was nominated for a BAFTA. Sadly, didn't win.
You know how we feel about
it. You know the only reason he wasn't nominated for an Oscar, the only reason...
It wasn't good enough.
Wasn't it in the right time frame or something?
Correct. It was not eligible because it came out in the new year in America, and it wasn't in the right year. So they'll have to recognise it next year's Oscars. I mean, we about a year and a half after it came out, but you know, it's possible.
Maybe we can give him a retrospective Unmissables award.
Yeah.
Good idea.
I mean, that's
made
the real
of marmalade.
Prize.
Yeah.
Mm.
Anyway, Paddington 2 is an absolutely perfect piece of filmmaking.
Wow.
Also, the books are very good, so please, I do urge you to go to your local library and pick one up.
Books are brilliant. Yeah. Well, I think we've achieved everything we set out to achieve.
Well, we got a solid 8 from the YOG.
That's what we set out to achieve.
Yeah, and also there is still time to review us on iTunes. I'm just gonna mention that once more.
Review us on iTunes. Get in touch with us. We want to hear from you on the Twitter, don't we?
Yeah. Ask us questions. Any questions you have for the podcast, for the question section, time, as it's known.
Why not tell us your favourite bear?
Absolutely, especially if it's a different answer to Paddington. Which got two
or
answers.
Gentle Ben. Yeah. Get in touch if you remember Gentle Ben.
Definitely not Bear Grylls.
Get in touch if you know how cruel the bear action was.
No, but it was before. Like, obviously you can't do that now, is what I'm saying, but it was very entertaining when it was on when I was a child.
Oh, fascinating. It's a goodbye from me.
It's a goodbye from me.
And it's a goodbye from me.